Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 6, verses 15 through 19, with a message he's entitled, First Fruits. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now in verse 19, here's what I really want to get at, and here's the aspect of the first fruits. Because he says in verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated or dedicated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. It's kind of interesting here. He says, kill everybody. No mercy, but bring me the gold and silver. Is God into gold and silver? Does he need gold and silver? There's something going on here, obviously spiritual in significance. And there's something in the Old Testament, a principle, where the Lord says the first fruits belong to me. And see, this is the first city that they're going into, that they're going to take some valuable and resources, and the Lord says, hey, those belong to me. I get the best, I get the first, don't give me the leftovers in any area. In the Passover, the Lord said, hey, the firstborn male child, as well as any animal, belongs to me. Those are to be dedicated to me. First fruits of the crops. When the crops begin to bud forth, whether it's a pomegranate or a fig or whatever tree or whatever it's wheat, the first portion that comes up, bring it to the Lord. That's his. It belongs to him. Give it unto him. That's called the first fruits. And now they're going into the land. It's the first battle that is going to be fought. The Lord's going to win the battle. And he says, hey, give me the first. Offer unto me the first and the best. And I believe that's what the Lord would require of our life. He doesn't want our leftovers. He wants the best. He wants the choice. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he requires of us, that our life would be totally dedicated to him. That's what he's calling for. And he's trying to teach this group here, the first battle, I'm going to win it on your behalf. You're not even going to have to fight. You just got to play some music and shout when I tell you, and I'll bring the battle. But hey, bring me the gold and the silver. Now, does God need the gold and the silver? No, he doesn't. But what he's trying to teach these people is trying to get greed out of their heart. Because if he told them, hey, there's seven nations you're going to go fight against, and out of one of those nations, out of one of those seven, bring me the gold and the silver. When do you think they would have done that? Probably about nation number seven, or maybe number six. Oh yeah, we got to give to the Lord. The Lord's saying, I want the first time. Because what we do is we would get the gold and so we're saying, well, I need this. I need it to survive, and we need it for the next battle, and we need it for whatever. And the next battle, well, we need this too. And by the third battle, we need this as well. And the Lord would be way down the line somewhere because we'd justify that. So the Lord wants to set it in their heart at the first battle. You bring it to me, it's mine. Don't touch of it, lest he'd be displeased with you. And I believe there is a spiritual principle that we need to draw from this lesson here. And this is really what I want to get to the heart of, is that the Lord wants your best in every area of your life. And he's not going to settle for second best. He's not going to settle for leftovers. In our service unto Jesus Christ, he wants our effort to be unto him the best effort that we could possibly give. Financially, he wants the first fruits. In our heart, in our worship, he wants the best worship because he's deserving of such worship. He's deserving of such devotion, and he's worthy of such service. And I believe the Lord says, this is what I want, and he steps back and says, now are you willing to give it to me? And if you're not, then just keep what you want. But don't give me half-hearted devotion. Don't worship me through religious ritual when your heart is far from me. Just keep that, he says. And there's a series of scriptures I'd like to take you through where God calls for the best, the first fruits out of our life, and see how he responds when he doesn't receive it from his people. And I want to take you into the minor prophets. And the first book that we will look at is the book of Amos. And Amos is one of the 12 minor prophets, the last 12 books of the Old Testament. So if you could find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, those are the bigger books that you'll eventually get to. Keep going to the right. And the first minor prophet is Hosea. Then you'll come to the book of Joel. Then you'll come to famous Amos, and that's our book that we'll look at, chapter 8. And there's one thing as I studied this, the Word of God is so powerful that God speaks He speaks right to the motive of the hearts. And what he's going to say to these people, here's how you're acting, here's how you're conducting, here's what you're saying. They're not verbally saying it, but it's happening in the hearts. And what has happened here by the time Amos is a prophet is the people's religion became kind of ritualistic. They were doing the right things, but their heart was far from it. And the Lord's going to expose that in relationship to how they viewed the holidays, the new moon. Every new moon, they were supposed to have a day that was holy to the Lord, and every Sabbath was to be holy to the Lord. And here's what they were saying in their heart about the Sabbath. Verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? So they're saying, I wish these holidays, I wish the Sabbath would pass so we could get to do what we really want to do, and that's make some money. We want to trade and we want to barter and we want to be involved in business, but these darn holidays, we can't do those things on the holidays. On the new moon, we're not allowed to sell or trade or make any money. And on the Sabbath, the Lord doesn't allow us to. So I wish these things would just hurry up and get over so we could really get to do what we want to do. See, that's what happens when your heart drifts away from the Lord. Church gets in the way of what you really want to do. Maybe you think, well, you know, if I didn't go to church, I could work on Sunday and I could get time and a half or double time. And I'm a Christian. I got to go to church. And that darn church thing just in my way of what I want to accomplish. So you come here and you're here, but in your heart, you're wanting to do something else. And now you try and fit church and your ministry life around what you want to do, and those things start getting pushed out to the side. That's the same thing that's happening here in the book of Amos. Now, people say funny things to me. One guy came to me, I don't know why he said it, it was a while back. He said, I like to go to the first service and get it out of the way. And I'm like, it's like going to the dentist, you know, I get this out of the way. You know, I don't think he meant it quite that harshly. But it's just like, you know, how do you take that? Is church something you're squeezing in to your life? And it's like, well, God, just be thankful I give him an hour, hour and a half, or however long the service goes. And I make this great... It should be a priority. This should be the priority of the day. And if your heart's for the Lord, it is a priority. And the other things are getting in the way of church, not church getting in the way of your life. So you miss out on a family picnic. Miss out on a TV show. Miss out on a Raider game that starts at 1 o'clock or whatever. Those are so secondary that your heart says, I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And when you find yourself trying to fit church in, there's something wrong in the heart. God deserves the best, the priority. We serve him first. Everything else takes a pale second to that. It's a matter of the heart. Do I want to give the Lord the best? And when that starts drifting away, the demands that God places upon your life as a Christian, you start chafing against them. And that's a sad thing. The Lord deserves the best of your life, the best of your heart, the best of your time. It all belongs to him. He's the one that's given you the breath for you to breathe. He's the one that's given you this day. So this should be a special day that we'd say, oh, I'm going to fellowship. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to give him the best of my day. Who cares what the other things that are going on? The others that don't have the spiritual values. I'm going to the house of God and worship him and study the word and be around my brethren. And then when we're finished there, then I will do what is available. That's what was happening here. Let's get the Sabbath out of the way so we can go and do what we want, and that's make money. That's what they were wanting to do, sell and trade. Read on with me. It says, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit. And that's how they traded in that day, you know, by weight. So they would fix the weights to their advantage so, you know, they could make more money. Read on. That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. So they'd even rip people off and sell them junk. And see, that's what happens. That's what happens if your heart starts drifting from the Lord, and all of a sudden you're into whatever, your career or making money, that's going to turn corrupt. Because there's a strong pull upon the heart for wealth, for power, for riches, and you will sacrifice your convictions, your soul, to get the mighty buck if your heart's not lined up with the Lord. It's a draw upon our society. And even your business will then turn corrupt. So if you're going to walk in integrity, it has to be the Lord first. The Lord used those prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, because they stopped rebuilding the temple, to provoke their hearts, to stir their hearts to serve the Lord and to rebuild the temple. The Lord said, go up to the forest, the mountains, and bring the wood back. Build the temple so that I can be glorified. Quit working on your own houses. Build the temple first. And then pursue after the things of this life. But this is a priority. And they worked on the temple. They got it rebuilt. And time went on. And they went back to the same ritualistic kind of routine sort of worship. And Malachi, God raises him up to challenge that sort of mindset. And this is real penetrating passage of scripture dealing with the heart and worship. In Malachi chapter 1 verse 6, it says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am your father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? So God is speaking. This is a natural order of reverence. God's saying, where's my reverence? Where's the honor that I'm deserving of? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? It says, you offer defiled food on my altar, but you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? So here he says to the priests, and as well as to the people, he says, I'm God, where's my honor? And they say, well, aren't we honoring you, Lord? We're going through the sacrifices, we're giving you what you've asked. And he says, yeah, but the sacrifices you give me, you give me the leftovers, the ones that nobody, well, there's a lame animal and a blind one, well, let's give that to the Lord. And he says, isn't that evil?